Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to New Heights Educational Group radio show. My name is Peyton Behan, your host and volunteer for New Heights. Today's radio program will be on to track or not to track in middle school, but as always, we have some announcements before we begin. Firstly, for more information or questions, you can contact us anytime by visiting our website at www.newheightseducation.org or email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 419-786-0247. To call in during the show at any time for questions or to join into the discussion, you can call our number at 347-633-9225. Again, that's 347-633-9225. Now for some announcements. Dear homeschool and charter school families, the New Heights Educational Group Resource and Literacy Center is currently offering its biweekly Enrichment Day classes from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. They're held in defiance of the Zion Lutheran Church. Please note that the classes are not religion-based, unless families want there to be one. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and help with the planning of them. Enrichment Day / co-op classes are underway. So far, we are offering a culinary class, a reading class, science class, and we are open to more suggestions for future classes. We are discussing two new classes being offered in January. One is for Irish dancing and one is for karate, which will be student-led. Students are invited to not only attend, but participate in instructing some of the classes. If you're interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us ASAP. The Adult Advisory Group was held on December 11th, 2013, at 7 p.m. at Pamela's home and office. Topics covered were what we offer, fundraising, field trips, volunteer opportunities, Common Core curriculum, and more. We welcomed new advisory members, Ashley Murray and Kathy Woodring, and Roberta Perkins is also staying a part of this group. We are holding a bake sale and fundraiser on December 15th, 2013, from 12:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the North Palm Mall in the Fossil Hall. You can go to the dentist and they're coming out to support us. And that's for this. That's tomorrow, Sunday, December 15th, from 12:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. New Heights Christmas Party Potluck will be held on December 20th at the Zion Lutheran Church from 1 to 3:30 p.m. And if you're planning to attend, the RSVP. Additionally, Pamela would like to recommend that you tune in to the following show. Greg and Sandra Morton return to Saturdays with another episode of the Morton Podcast. Join them as they discuss business, sports, entertainment, headlines, and more. Entertainment headlines and more. Tune in, call in, or join in the chat. A former child actor from Kirkland and Mrs. King, Greg Morton is an author of Fury of the Bear, Lifting a Foot Forward, other books. Filmmaker and outdoor enthusiast, his unique perspective has honestly pushed the boundaries of what it means to live a balanced life. Together with his wife, Sandra, they tackle new topics and new headlines each week, sharing their love, relationship, and not always equal perspective in an effort to build a more positive and supportive world around us all. Join mostly every Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or midnight at Eastern Standard Time and experience a new perspective. Everything is open for discussion. Again, tune in, call in, or join in the chat and learn more at www.mortondesignworks.com. Now on to today's topic, to track or to not track in middle school, an article written by Pearson Allen Bacon from Prentice Hall. By F.D. Powell Pearson. Perhaps the most controversial of all philosophical dilemmas concerning the structure of people within the middle school is the homogenous versus heterogeneous grouping debate. Homogeneous ability grouping or tracking, as it's commonly called, has been the norm in most levels of schooling for many years. This seems to make sense because students will put them into classes based on their abilities and achievement level. So curriculum and instruction can be tailored to meet their specific abilities. It appears reasonable to expect teachers to teach at their best when presented with groups of students who fall within narrow bands of intelligence and aptitude. What makes sense and appears reasonable dictates what often prevails in practice in direct opposition to middle-level philosophy. Turning Point 2000 clearly calls for heterogeneous grouping of students, meaning that students in any given class represent the spectrum of ability levels in the school student population. Still, homogeneous grouping is prevalent in schools that otherwise follow the tenets of middle school grades education. The arguments for and against ability grouping or tracking have been the same for decades. It seems clear that ongoing research is needed on the topic of homogeneous versus heterogeneous grouping. The case for tracking. The literature available on the topic of tracking indicates that the case for ability grouping is based on the following propositions. Tracking helps schools meet the varying needs of students. Tracking provides low-achieving students with the attention and slower pace they require. High-achieving students are provided with challenges when tracked, and tracking is necessary for individualizing instruction, and tracking will prevent low achievers from hindering the progress of high achievers. Among the proponents of tracking are some administrators, teachers, and parents, mostly of high achievers, as you might imagine. It is easier to plan for the instruction of a homogeneous class. Materials and teaching methods can be chosen specifically for the ability level of the student. High-achieving groups can sometimes teach themselves. They often seem to thrive regardless of the curriculum and instruction. At the other end of the spectrum, teaching a class of low achievers has been, and often still, a matter of drill and practice in a worksheet-rich environment if the teacher is not committed to a type of instruction that is more interesting and challenging to students and more difficult to plan. Perhaps it's not the grouping, but the quality of instruction that makes a difference. The case against tracking. The literature available on tracking indicates that the case against it relies on the following propositions. Tracking is detrimental to young adolescent peer relationships. It is harmful to self-esteem of low achievers and perpetuates class and racial inequities. The grouping process is often biased. It reinforces inaccurate assumptions about intelligence, and the least experienced teachers are typically assigned to low-achieving classes. Those who oppose tracking again include administrators, teachers, and parents. In Beyond Tracking, written by Poole and Page in 1995, author after author refers to the preponderance of research involving many schools and students that have failed to show positive effects of tracking for any subgroup of students, with the possible exception of students considered to be gifted and talented, an average 3-5% of the total student population. Finding balance. George, in 1995, a paper contends that the claims and counterclaims about research are so confusing and contradictory that practitioners must come to their own conclusions about the most reliable generalizations that can be drawn. So while middle-level philosophy in Turning Point 2000, another article of research, states that classes should include students of diverse needs, achievement levels, interests, and learning styles, and instruction should be differentiated to take advantage of the diversity, not ignore it. The reality of what actually occurs in our schools often does not follow this philosophy. A major benefit of the team structure, which we will discuss later in the chapter, is that it supports heterogeneous grouping of students while allowing for grouping and regrouping as determined by individual student needs and the curriculum. To make heterogeneous grouping successful, instructional practices need to respond to student needs. There are numerous teaching practices that give students opportunities to learn in diverse ways. The variety of teaching practices is essential in creating a developmentally responsive classroom, one that embraces heterogeneous groups. Some middle schools restrict grouping to subjects that are overtly hierarchical in nature. A common configuration of courses involves tracking in math and language arts with heterogeneous grouping in science and social studies. For those adamantly opposed to any kind of tracking, it may be difficult to accept this compromise. However, tracking is deeply embedded in our schools and is unlikely to be eliminated, regardless of the mounting evidence against it. Chances are you will encounter some form of it in your school and may have no choice as to whether or not to practice tracking. To track or not to track is a serious issue with potentially far-reaching consequences. It is therefore an issue that merits our best thinking and our most thoughtful actions. We've only scratched the surface. Please take time to explore the homogeneous and heterogeneous grouping issue in greater depth, and keep in mind that homogeneous middle class is an oxymoron. There are not too much less than 20 middle school students who respond in the same way and at the same time to any given scenario. In addition, tracking for New Heights has included the use of reading math and English success labs, teacher/tutor progress letters, parent-student progress letters. We have mostly concentrated on the letter forms as of recently. Some may think this isn't enough, and we concentrate on children's strengths and talents and building weakened areas of learning which fill in the gaps that tutoring has left. That being said, we have seen remarkable growth in students in just 9 months of learning and have students jump to grade level, as well as witness students grow in confidence, as well as academically. It is also worth mentioning that all students that have graduated through New Heights have been inducted into the Players Notable National Academy and have received their accolades as well. This includes students from public, charter, and homeschool backgrounds. And this is just we unfortunately have much time left and not as much material. So basically, to sum up the article, what is it talking about? And I was referring to some studies that may have been kind of obscure and just in the way they were presented in the article. But what it was basically talking about was the effects of putting high achievers into separate classes than low achievers. And this can also often be seen in the difference between honors classes and regular classes and the types of students that you see in those particular classes. As an honor student, most of my time in middle school and high school, in high school in particular, I had to apply to get in, so you were pretty much grouped with people that were of your similar aptitude academically through that process as well. I can say that perhaps I do not have much of a perspective as to how maybe it could be harmful for those who struggle more academically, but I do have to say that grouping people who are similar academically can be very beneficial in some ways, but it's challenging students who are not used to being surrounded by students who are similar to them academically, to work harder and to perhaps learn to be more humble given the circumstances. I know that in middle school I was one of the top in my class, and then when I went to high school I was definitely not at the top, but I was still surrounded by very, very smart people, and I was still smart, but I just wasn't as smart as a lot of people that went to my high school, and I know that it taught me to be humble and to really work hard in my studies and not to take what I was studying for granted and to understand how hard you really have to work to earn your grades. I know that was very beneficial, although difficult at times for me, but that's definitely a benefit of grouping very academically achieved students together, and I think it creates a very good working environment, but some negative effects of it that I've experienced can create a very competitive environment since everybody is within the same grade levels. For example, we're all probably within the 90 to 98 grade range out of 100, and so it can create a lot of tension and competition and stress in some cases. It can also make it difficult to sometimes gain perspective on things outside of people who are very similar to you. For example, a lot of times in my high school, we would have very similar opinions just because we were similar academically. But I think that it would have done us justice to have exposure to more experiences that were not so similar. And this could have been one of the cases where a heterogeneous grouping of students would have been more meaningful and more beneficial. Excuse me. But those are just my experiences. And I think that perhaps why tracking occurs is just because the ease at which teachers can prepare for classes and lead discussions, knowing that most of the people in the class are going to be at the same level. And I think it's good in that sense. It makes it very easy to plan lessons because you are well aware of everybody's capability to participate in the class and whatever lectures are going to be taught or held. And I do understand that it may be difficult, unfortunately, for students who are more on the low achieving side, who are grouped together and then do not receive necessarily as trained teachers. But I don't think this is necessarily an issue with tracking, because I do feel like it might be difficult for those who are at a lower level to actively learn in a classroom with those at a higher level without keeping the material being taught a little bit more stunted. However, I think what could possibly fix this is assigning better teachers, for example, to low-achieving classes. I think the issue is not necessarily with grouping them together, but it's with the methods they're taught at. It definitely should not be neglected or favored compared to high-achieving groups. In fact, they're the ones I feel like need the most attention to succeed. As it said in the article, high achievers can often teach themselves and rely on themselves a lot to understand certain academic topics, but low achievers, I feel like, should receive a lot of the attention when it comes to academics, so that way they can get better at whatever subject they're having difficulty with and not just fall by the wayside and continue to be in a low-achieving group. I think that's one of the main issues with not necessarily tracking itself, the idea of tracking, but with the methodology of tracking and how it ends up being in reality. Excuse me. And so that's it for today. Unfortunately, we did have a little bit of a short show today, and I do apologize for that. Next week, I will be flying home, so I don't think I'll be able to have the radio show, but the week after, which I believe is after Christmas, the 27th, I should be holding a show, and that subject is to be announced and will be up in a few days or so. Thank you very much for listening. And excuse me, I think I ate something today that I'm allergic to because my throat has been swelled up a little bit. So I do apologize if it was difficult to hear me or understand me during the show. But again, thank you so much. And also, like I said, just another reminder, the New Heights Christmas Party and Potluck will be held on December 20th at the Zion Lutheran Church. And do please RSVP if you want to attend. And you can RSVP by emailing us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com or calling our number at 497-860-247. And those who are interested in volunteering or tutoring, please also call those numbers, that number, or email us. And you can also, for more information, visit www.newheights.org. Again, have a great weekend. And since I won't be seeing or I suppose, talking to you guys before Christmas, I wish everybody a very wonderful Christmas or holiday season. And we'll see you December 27th. Thank you again. Goodbye.